This is the Recency Bias, your day after mini pod. I thought I would do one of these Saturday night following the Flames Habs game, but I didn't like what I saw in the first two periods. Was barely paying attention by the time the third came around because I was on a lovely video call talking with friends rather than watching the Habs stink up the joint. So I had to catch up on the game, the latter half of the game on Sunday. So your podcast is late. Again, what do you do? What do you do? Time change, things are weird, right? Zach Van Oslam here on The Recency Bias, a production of RabbitHabs.com. Of course, part of the Montreal Bias podcast. The big pod, you know it. Game 27 on Saturday night. Habs coming up on the halfway point of the season. And they are following up a lackluster and fatigued performance on Thursday, which they lost to the Flames by a 2-1 score. They followed that up very disappointingly, would be the only appropriate way to put it. Very, very disappointing for this one. After the Canadiens had a legitimate excuse on Thursday, very fatigued, playing the previous night, getting in late, all the things we talked about on the last pod, they were rested, hypothetically rested, going into Saturday. And in the first period, especially the first period, they looked worse than Thursday, and frankly worse than they have looked at any other point in the season. The first period was a mess. Probably the worst period they played all year. But before we get into that terrible, terrible period, let's take a look. Starting thoughts. Well, the first was, what will the rested Habs look like? Oops. They look like shit. Romanov with Weber again. It's fine. It's Romanov. Still has some growing pains, but it's not been a disaster yet, as Romanov did play over 20 minutes on Saturday evening. And Byron was drawn into this one at center, as Evans was the healthy scratch for this one. Bit of a head-scratcher, getting Lekkonen into this one and not the game on Thursday night. Though, as my buddy Joey pointed out, when I said, why didn't you get Lekkonen in for the... And for the Thursday night game, get some fresh legs. They were coming off pretty much the best win of the year. Do you really change the lineup in that scenario? Maybe you should have, but it's a tougher call. I get it. That makes some sense. I heard that. All right. Into the first period. Just a minute in. And Drouin would take a hooking penalty. And that was kind of indicative of what was to come. Not that the Canadians were in any sort of parade to the penalty box, but just that the shots were on the way. They got three shots the Flames did on that power play. Yes, it was successfully killed off, but the Flames just kept coming after that. They were being very aggressive on the forecheck on a play that Price went down to early, and Sean Monahan, it's 1-0 for the Flames on a play that... Montreal broadcaster, not broadcasting the game, but a broadcaster of radio, in his own right, Ted Bird tweeted, Armia with a textbook fuckabout, and I think that sounds about right. That's what Armia was up to. He was in the defenseman spot, and a textbook fuckabout. I don't know what he was doing. And it was indicative of what Armia did on that play, in which he had the puck below the Habs goal line, and where the Habs were looking to basically clear out of their own zone. And he just held on to the puck longer than he should have. Say he was in the defenseman's position, in Petrie's spot, didn't really know what to do. Next thing you know, the swarming Flames have the puck, and Sean Monahan makes it 1-0. And that was just what was happening for the Habs all game. The simple things, the things they should have been able to execute on, they weren't doing it. I mean, this is Daryl Sutter's team, and it looked like Daryl Sutter's team on Saturday night. They were clogging things up. They were playing heavy hockey, and nothing was connecting for the Canadiens in that first period. Just nothing clean at all, and the Flames weren't giving them an inch. And they found no way to get out of their own way, and they found no way to breathe with the Flames on them at every moment. And they didn't have a response for that. They couldn't turn it the other way and be on the Flames every second and push that possession. It just wasn't there. The shots at one point in that first period were 13-3 in favor of the Flames. And you think, all right, if the Flames got the puck on their stick so often, at least the Habs must be hitting them, right? Nope. The Flames, while leading shots 13-3, also led hits 9-2 at one point. So that just tells you which team was engaged and which team needed to be engaged after the performance on Thursday and could find no way to do it. Gallagher would get the second penalty of the period, and he got that down behind the Flames' net, so a long way away from Carey Price and any danger. And as he went to the box, the Flames went back to the scoreboard. Sean Monahan, his second of the evening, as Shea Weber was distracted by Tkachuk. The shots at that point were 16-3. And I wrote, worst period of the season? Worst period of the season. 16-6 the shots in the first. Habs trailed 2-0, and things wouldn't get any better. Habs would actually get a little lucky. Goudreau kicked one in on another complete breakdown. Really, Goudreau should have... I don't know why he kicked it in. He definitely probably had the option to knock it in with his... I mean, I guess he didn't because he didn't, and Goudreau's pretty quick with his hands. But it seemed like he had enough space and time to actually use his stick to hit the puck in the net. But he kicked it in, so that was called off, luckily for the Canadians. But I missed the third goal for Calgary. I was getting a beer from the fridge for the hangs, and I don't care. I didn't bother going back to see what happened. Deneau was obviously playing hurt in this one, and the Canadians would get one in the second. 4-on-4 action. And who else? Jeff Petrie. On a play that was kept alive by Drouin. This gave a little bit of life for the Canadians, but that was about all the life you'd see. Habs were once again outshot in that middle frame, 12-10. And as they found themselves down 3-1. Third period, there's a little more pushback from the Canadians. But, yeah, not much convincing nature at all. Just a night when nothing worked for them. They were outworked, outplayed, out everything. They did score one that was called back when they had the goalie pulled late in the third. But, whatever. They didn't deserve this one at all. And, well, they didn't get it at all. A tough one as they head to Winnipeg with two more. They're in trouble, man. They're in trouble. I'm not writing off the rest of the season, but they're in trouble right now because they look exhausted from this road trip. It is a long road trip, but it's not over yet. You've still got to go play the Jets for two more games on the way back to Montreal. And the Jets are a very good hockey team. Just ask the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Jets now look like the second most powerful team in the North. So now you got to come up against that. And if you bring either of the performances that you brought against the Flames on Thursday or Saturday, you're screwed, Habs. That's going to be tough. So I don't know. I don't predict a very good week for the Canadians. It looks like they've run out of gas on this stretch. And now they're headed in Winnipeg, and I have a feeling it's not going to go well there. Maybe not. Maybe they switch things up. Maybe they learn something about themselves in the game on Saturday night as they got embarrassed. Maybe. But I don't have the highest hopes for the game. The game's coming up this week. Once again, no 7 o'clock games during the week. By the time they get to the weekend, it'll be back to 7 o'clock games. But here's what's coming up for the Habs. Even though they get to come home, it's an intense schedule. So, as I said, on the road, Monday, 8 o'clock. That's going to be in Winnipeg. Another one in Winnipeg on Wednesday. That's a 9 o'clock start. They return to 7 o'clock starts on Friday and Saturday as they host back-to-back games against the Vancouver Canucks, the only team in the North Division that the Habs seem to really be able to beat with any consistency. So that's good news. They got two coming up against the Flames, against the Canucks after they get through the Jets. But even though those are back-to-back, the schedule remains intense and it doesn't let up. They go back-to-back just the rest of the way. They go back-to-back Friday and Saturday, and then they got Sunday off, but then they're at it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday again. They'll have Saturday off, but then they've got a Sunday game against the Ottawa Senators on the 28th, and on March 30th, a Tuesday, they'll be taking on the Sens again, And then the Thursday, they take on the Sens again. And the Saturday, they take on the Sens again. And then the Monday, they take on the Oilers. And then they've got a day off. Then they got two games in 2 days against the Leafs and Jets. So it's getting a little ahead of ourselves, but the next few weeks are not going to let up any. And if they're exhausted, if they don't have it, they're screwed. They can't find some conditioning or whatever it was that they needed on Saturday night that they didn't show up with. They're in trouble because the schedule is going to get even more relentless than it has been already. Yes, there'll be more home games. They're not out in the West playing weird times, but it ain't going to let up. And if they can't figure it out, they're going to be in trouble. Now, I'm not ready. I think the game was so disheartening on Saturday night that a lot of people almost were ready to throw in the towel on this team in the season. I'm not quite there yet. Because, look, they just, three games prior, on Wednesday, just earlier than the week, they played what was arguably their best game of the season. Now they followed that up with a couple real trash games, but they're not so far from that game. Now, maybe that's just because the Canucks are, they happen to be able to play the Canucks really well. That does seem to be the story of the season. Beef up on points against the Canucks and everybody else you struggle against. I don't know. So I'm not all the way out, but certainly disheartening what they did on Saturday night. Not at all what you would have liked to see. You know, you lose that game in a game where they play well, they just get some bad breaks, maybe the reffing doesn't go their way, maybe they meet a goaltender who's unstoppable. I mean, Markstrom had a good night. He was 24-25 with 960 save percentage, but that's in large part because the Canadians weren't doing much of anything to create danger around. You know, and Carey Price didn't let him down, that's for sure. Price had a pretty solid night. He was 33-36. That's still a 917 save percentage, and I think the score could have been just a blowout at points if Carey Price hadn't been relatively solid in this one. So it's not on the goalie, that's for sure. It's on everybody else, I guess, except Jeff Petrie. Suzuki, 18 minutes, 58 seconds of ice time. Kotkaniemi, 18 minutes, 46 seconds. So they were pretty much even on a night when Phil Deneau was only played 11:29 because he got hurt early in the game. They're not saying what it is, but they are saying on Sunday that the expectation is that Deneau will be able to go on Monday night. So at least there's that good news for the Canadians, because without Deneau, even though he's had his struggles and certainly plenty of criticism has been lobbed at him this season, without him, you got a big hole in the lineup. So good news at least that he looks like he should be able to go on Monday night when they take on the Jets, and they're going to need him. Speaking of Suzuki, I know I've been harping on a little bit lately, but it seems like that became the chorus from the fan base and the media after Saturday's game, was what happened to Nick Suzuki of the playoffs last year and the first bit of this season? Because for a minute there, they had a 1C. Now, he was young, and he had things to learn, but, you know, when he had, what was it, 15 points in 15 games or something right out of the gate, and he looked next level, and he was getting compared to Patrice Bergeron, and, you know, everybody was gaga over the kid, me especially. That's great. That's when you've got that guy going for you. But when he hits a slump, as he has in recent weeks, now you're down a 1C for a very regular player, which is what Nick Suzuki has been as of late. And even though Kotkaniemi's had a few things going for him, you know, he hasn't exactly been a world beater where he's, you know, taking it up and looking like he was even quite in the playoffs last season, or even where Suzuki was earlier this season. Like, they're just not, they're not going to be lifting the team up the way they were for a while. As, you know, even if Kotkaniemi's play has been pretty decent as of late, it's obviously not enough to power that whole team right now. So it's tough. I don't know if Suzuki's feeling something, if he's injured, or if it's just young player with the games getting tough. The grind of the NHL season is a lot. Yeah, they're only, if this was a real season, they'd just be about quarter way through. But the intensity that all the games they've played so far, I think, is probably maybe starting to catch up with them. I don't know. A lot of questions on what the hell happened on Saturday night, that's for sure. We'll see if they can answer them come Monday against the Jets, a much bigger test than the Flames, who are now right behind the Habs for that fourth and final playoff spot. Kind of surprising. 15 games ago, if you'd said in 12 games, well, at the 15, let me start that again. At the 15-game mark of the season, if you said in 12 games the Canadians are going to find themselves barely holding on to a playoff spot, I think a lot of us would have been surprised by that. So, here's where they find themselves. Busy games, plenty of coming up. Maybe figure it out. I don't know. Till the next one, take care.